Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it is time to welcome back Condé Nast Traveler consumer news editor, Wendy Perrin. She's been here every Thursday this month as part of our Unraveling Traveling series. Actually, she has been our Unraveling Traveling series. Yes, for five Thursdays in a row, she has been gamely hoofing it to our studios, fielding your calls, and offering suggestions on how to travel smarter. Now, Wendy, when you agreed to be our weekly guest for the month of May, did you realize that this month had five Thursdays in it?
Actually, it never occurred to me. But it's been a lot of fun coming here. I've really enjoyed it.
And it's been great to have you.
Thank you.
And glad we could hold you over for a fifth week because listeners have so many travel questions. And listeners, if you want to go back to the previous installments, we've linked to them on our webpage. Visit the Brian Lehrer Show page at WNYC.org. And be sure to read the comment section because plenty of you wrote in with a lot of good travel advice as well. So to wrap up the series, we're going to look at a couple of topics: how to travel solo and how to decide when and if to get professional travel advice and when to figure it out yourself. So on those two topics, you can give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Where and when have you traveled alone? What's been your experience using professionals, a tour group or a travel agent? But we also want to take calls from listeners with any lingering travel questions for Wendy Perrin today, 212-433-9692 or on WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Who travels alone?
Well, obviously, there are the backpackers, you know, and there are the business travelers. But I think a lot of, you know, sometimes it's really hard to coordinate, you know, and find somebody else who you can travel with who can pay the same rates that you can, where you feel like they'd go at the same pace. You know, there really can be nothing more frustrating than to travel with somebody where you're just so opposed in terms of how you, you know, how you want to travel. On the other hand, isn't it so much better to travel with somebody where you can sort of say, hey, what do you think of that monument? Or, hey, what do you think of this sort of odd way this culture is, you know?
Compromise versus companionship. That
right.
is the question. Already in on our comments page, someone wrote, the main disadvantage is having to pay all the bills for two, although you're by yourself. You pay for the double room, the rental car, the single supplement, etc. And we checked out this phrase single supplement, which is previously unbeknownst to me, but apparently a charge levied by many tour operators on travelers occupying a single hotel room as one person. Is that correct?
That's right. There are a lot of sort of packaged trips where, like hotel packages or cruises or group tours, where if you're traveling alone, you're basically going to have to pay twice as much because the prices are per person based on double occupancy.
Which is actually, if you're traveling with people, traveling as a couple, this is kind of a little tricky thing that you have to make sure, you know, that you're not being tricked by when you book a hotel room, say, that the price you're being quoted is for the room, not per person.
Right, that's right. You know, single or solo travelers might, if they do want to join some kind of prearranged trip rather than just winging it, they might think about a bike trip or other kind of adventure trip like river rafting. A lot of those types of trips, there's no single supplement. A lot of spas don't charge single supplements. Places like Club Med, there's no single supplement. So those are some of the options if you want a packaged vacation.
Are there organized trips or vacations that are good for single travelers?
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of great things about these kinds of adventure trips, especially, you know, bike trips, walking trips, river rafting, all kinds of adventure like that. Because, you know, you're on the one hand, you can be alone, but on the other hand, you can also kind of, it's a shared experience with these other people who are also solo and really kind of gung-ho.
Dave in Brooklyn says he travels alone a lot. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is a great series.
Thanks.
I travel alone or with my partner or with a friend, and we never use an organized tour. And I've traveled through Europe, through parts of the Middle East, without any trouble. Egypt, however, was really challenging without an organized tour guide. There's not a lot of English spoken. The infrastructure is kind of funky. And though the dollar gets you really far, in the off-season, people at tourist sites can be very aggressive, you know, cab drivers and people offering you other services. And it was sort of bewildering and a little sort of anxiety provoking at times. And after that trip, I thought, you know, if I were to come back there again, I might, you know, do a tour down the Nile or something.
I couldn't agree more. You know, there are certain countries where there is this ingrained tourism infrastructure that favors group travelers.
Yeah.
And if you're an independent person, you can just completely lost sort of chewed up and spat out by this tourism machine. In addition to Egypt, there's India, Russia, China. Those are other countries where I would describe it as the same way.
But, and Dave, thanks for your call, you can choose a la carte. I don't know about all those countries, but in many places, I think you can choose sort of a la carte groups to get involved with on a per diem basis. For example, when I went with my family to Costa Rica this year, we decided not to go with a group, as I mentioned to you before. And, you know, we booked our hotel room by hotel rooms on our own in our itinerary and all of that. But because when you go into the rainforest, you're going to see so much more if you have an experienced nature guide pointing things out to you. We were able to pick up these, you know, day trip guided tours that would go day by day and choose where we wanted to go on what day and not have to be bound by a group. Now, I don't know if you can do the equivalent things in India and Russia, but I would guess you could.
You can, but it's just really tough. It's tough to get the good guides because in those countries, the best guides have already been sort of swallowed up by the groups or you know, there are a lot of people who are traveling independently. But they've booked through a travel agent who has access to the best guides. And so basically you're kind of left with the leftovers.
Dan, in Manhattan, been traveling alone the last 5 years?
That's right. And I found it to be much better. At first, when I went to Spain for the Pamplona, it was a little overwhelming. But
You ran with the bulls?
Yeah. So then from there, I went to the other part of Spain, to Tomato Toss. And since then, I've been traveling all over the world, and I'll be in China for 3 weeks for the Olympics, and prior to that I'll be in Dubai for a couple of weeks in July. But I find it's beneficial to me because I'm relatively shy. It brings me out of my shell, and I'm forced to meet other people. And if I traveled in the past with other people, I found that I might lose a couple of days on my trip by doing what they want to do when I don't particularly care to do it.
Yeah.
So once I get my feet wet in another country, I feel a little at home.
I only have one friend who went to Pamplona and ran with the bulls. And guess what? He got injured. He didn't get gored, but he fell in a crowd and got trampled a bit and injured his leg.
My husband ran with the bulls. Thank God he was actually fine.
So, Dan,
you
thanks.
You scope it out for a few days. You just don't run. You find the best spots to go.
Uh-huh.
You don't go on the corners where the bulls slide into you.
Thank you very much. Here's another post from the comments page from somebody who says, I love traveling alone. I just returned for 3 weeks in India, where everyone found it very curious that I was traveling myself. For me, she writes, the other issue is that I am the person who spends lots of time researching the place I'm visiting. So when I have a traveling companion, I always seem to fall into the role of guide. Much of my energy is spent making sure my companion is having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely, I too have traveled with other people where I, and what's so funny is when you're the guide to a place you've never even been before.
Right. You know? And somebody else says, that you can negotiate away, in many cases, the single supplement for a hotel room if you ask the hotel. I don't know if that's true, but somebody wrote that in.
Well, you know, in some places, definitely Europe is a place where there are so many single hotel rooms. In fact, I think that's one reason why it's a pretty good deal for the single traveler because, you know, in the United States, for instance, most hotel rooms, it's the same price, whether you're single or double. Whereas in a lot of European hotels, there are single rooms that are much cheaper. So, yes, your costs can be less traveling alone sometimes. It just depends on the type of trip.
More fine print about the single supplement from Kate on Staten Island. Hi, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Just a note about single parent traveling. We tend to get hit. We have to go to resorts that are family friendly, and they tend to hit you with the single supplement on top of charging you for your children. So you're not allowed to generally take your 9-year-old and have them be the second adult. You have to pay the single supplement plus the children's fares.
Wow, that's a revelation.
So you end up paying more than a family of four would pay, or a family of three would normally pay. Two adults and a child is less expensive than adults and two children.
Wendy, your face tells me you haven't run into this.
Well, no, I haven't heard that before, but I'm not surprised. And, you know, you'd think that resort companies would be more foresightful than that. And, I will bet you that over the next few years, they will try to change their terms and their policies so that, because there are so many, we're not, these policies, these sort of, per person based on double occupancy deals are kind of outdated. I mean, families today, you've got extended families, you've got single parents, you've got all kinds of different, step parents and in-laws and different kinds of people traveling together. And I think that these hotels and resorts have got to become more kind of with it.
You know who it must be hard traveling with a tour group for? Control freaks.
Yeah. That's, I personally, I just can't take a group tour. I just, there are too many experiences that I want to be in control of, when I'm stopping. I mean, like a lot of group tours don't start until 9 a.m. Well, there are a lot of sites I want to get to at sunrise because that's often the best time to be there. And I definitely want to be at certain monuments when nobody else is there. And that's not going to happen on a group tour. You're there at the same time as 57 other tour buses.
Dan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right.
The thing I find really annoying about traveling by myself, I'm a musician and I travel by myself all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I've got everything I own with me. I've got my suitcase, my personal bag, my guitar. And if there's nobody with you, you have nobody to say, can you watch my stuff while I go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
You go to the bathroom and then you try to fit all in a toilet stall, plus yourself. You're climbing over your suitcase to get to the toilet. It's crazy.
You need to join a band.
Yeah, well, I have a band, but when I'm not with them, I miss them. I think it would be good to have like a coat check at toilets so that you could leave your suitcase and belongings while you go in.
That would be a nifty idea. You know what I think is particularly hard is when you're a single parent traveling with one child or more, especially in airports. I mean, that's when it becomes really tricky when you're trying to watch the kids, handle the bags, and you really need another set of eyes and hands.
I'll watch that bag for you. Just $5.
Yeah, right.
And on the website, somebody wrote, not off the beaten path, but I would love to revisit the great Italian cities on my own, but without signing on with a tour group. How would I get into the great museums and historic sites? I'd love to poke around the Uffizi at my own pace, but when you're not with a tour group, you're left waiting on lines all day.
Well, you need to make reservations at the Uffizi. And in a lot of Italian museums, you can make advance reservations, and I strongly recommend that during peak season. And then there are other things, try to get to monuments and sites at their downtimes when a lot of other people aren't going to be there, either, first thing in the morning, if it's an open air site. I mean, as I say, I love to go at sunrise, or as soon as a site opens, or maybe at lunchtime when a lot of people have left for lunch, or if it's a monument where there are a lot of group tours, find out whether ask your hotel concierge or somebody, do the groups tend to arrive in the morning or do they go in the afternoon? And then you just go when the groups aren't there.
We will end this series with comment 6 from our webpage, which says, I see, Brian, that you didn't see the South Park show when the kids visited the rainforest in Costa Rica. You would have learned a lot had you seen it. So too bad I didn't watch that episode of, Kyle and Kenny and everybody, and then I guess I wouldn't have needed a tour guide. Wendy Perrin, consumer news editor for Condé Nast Traveler. That concludes our Unraveling Traveling series. It's been so much fun. You've been great.
It's been terrific. Thank you so much.
Just give a web address where people can see your stuff.
Well, I've got a blog at perrinpost.com, and then Condé Nast Traveler's site is cntraveler.com.
Thanks again. It's been great.